KZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. New evidence has now been linked to Luigi Mangione, accused of killing the United Healthcare CEO in New York last week.
In addition to Mangione matching the photograph of the suspect in New York, having the ID on him that was presented to that hostel on the Upper West Side, and all of the writings we know about, we now have ballistic evidence and fingerprints that tie Mangione back to this crime in New York City last week.
ABC's Peter Haralambos. Questions over who is flying those large drones over sensitive locations in the Northeast. Dozens of sightings reported since last month, including near President-elect Trump's Bedminster golf course. The Pentagon denies Iran is responsible. FBI Director Christopher Wray facing pressure from President Trump to announcing that he will resign at the end of the Biden administration in January, more than 2 years before his term was set to end. Ray greenlit investigations into Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 election. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Even though the parents have already been met several times, there is talk of a new Meet the Parents chapter. Deadline reports that actors Robert De Niro, Terry Polo, Ben Stiller, and Blythe Danner are in talks to appear in the new film. Most of the producer team is returning, but there is no one attached yet to direct. Details about the plot are being kept hush-hush. What on earth could this possibly be about? I'm guessing family-related discomfort. We are learning a lot about Jamie Foxx thanks to his new comedy special on Netflix. In addition to addressing his stroke a couple years ago and the 20-day coma that followed, Foxx used the platform to announce that he is done dating white women, adding humorously that he will no longer eat potato salad and raisins. Before you judge him, if you are, I'm done dating white women too, mostly because I'm married to a white woman who loves potato salad. I don't get it either, Jamie. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Bucks head to Vegas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks found out last night they'll face the Atlanta Hawks in the semifinals Saturday of the NBA Cup in Las Vegas. Tip-off time 3:30. Atlanta beat the Knicks in New York 108-100 to qualify. College hoops, the Badgers on the road against the Butler Bulldogs in Indianapolis. Game time Saturday at 1:30. Last night in Green Bay, the Milwaukee Panthers beat the UW Green Bay Phoenix 88-67. The Phoenix now 2-9 under Doug Gottlieb. NFL, Packers defensive back Jair Alexander back and expected to play after missing the past month with a knee injury. The Packers in Seattle Sunday night. Luke Musgrave returned to practice. Jordan Love on seeing the tight end finally doing some drills after ankle surgery in early October.
Yeah, it's been awesome to see Luke. He was out there in pads and whatnot doing some individual stuff today. So, you know, had a tough injury. Didn't know when he was going to be back. And it's awesome to have a guy like that back out there.
That's Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Robot vacuums still frighten me, but you could win one as part of the Grown Up Gift List Text to Win contest. Shane Matinair is here. Where are you on robot vacuums?
Probably no. Yeah. My husband and I bought a Shark. If I could love a little appliance, I love my Shark vacuum.
When something actually sucks the way that you want it to, that's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
Well, look at the time here.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday morning on Up North News Radio, we'll have the latest on the April election for state school superintendent. The matchup isn't what a lot of folks would have expected.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning starting at 6.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is cold this morning, and it's going to stay cold through the day, but it will not be as windy. Mostly sunny, high of 4 above this afternoon. Wind will be west at 5 to 10. Tonight, we'll drop back down to 12 below zero. Tomorrow, sunshine 14 with some light snow tomorrow night into Saturday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, 13 below zero.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, former U.S. Attorney and host of Amicus The Law Review, James Santel, will join me to discuss the ramification of FBI Director Christopher Wray stepping down, what it means for the FBI specifically and the DOJ in general. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
1670 AM. The Zone.
Well, as advertised, you're waking up to a very cold Thursday morning. Welcome in, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here on the Midwest Farm Report. Yep, it's going to be sunny, but it's going to stay cold. Daytime highs, about 11 degrees, but then you factor in the winds out of the west up to 10 miles an hour, and our wind chill values are going to be minus 5 to minus 15. Tonight, one above. But again, wind still a part of our evening forecast for Friday. Sunshine, 21, but the wind chill values will still be in play, probably still right around zero when you factor in the winds. For Saturday, chance of rain, snow, or freezing rain before noon, then a mixture in the afternoon. Daytime highs on Saturday expected to be around 37 degrees, again with fairly strong winds. Sunday, another chance of rain, probably in the morning. Daytime highs on Sunday around 40. Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, has all the weather details you're looking for. We're bringing you details from the state capitol. The official Christmas tree has arrived. It's a balsam fir from the Rhinelander area. Stephanie Hoff has got all the details, visiting with the groundskeeper that not only harvested, but also will be decorating that balsam fir. And we've got Ryan Yonkman with EverAg joining us live this morning to help warm up some of our commodity numbers. Stick around.
Attention farmers and ranchers, the Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of a rebate of up to $1,500 on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eyes set on a Can-Am workhorse, now is the time to get your own. Visit your local Can-Am dealer to add a true game changer to your roster. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
Well, you know, you get to this colder season and it turns into meeting and convention season. I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire. And those conventions are really amping up here in December. And we have the Wisconsin Farmers Union Convention coming up shortly. We're going to talk to Kirsten Slaughter about it. She's going to give us some of those dates and what's going to be happening at convention this year.
Thanks, Jill. Yeah, our Wisconsin Farmers Union 94th Annual State Convention is happening December 13th through the 15th at Chula Vista. We're really excited to bring together members from across the state to really build those connections, to have great conversations. We're doing some amazing workshops, a keynote on antitrust and consolidation with Austin Farrick, and of course our members will be setting the policy and educational initiatives for the next year.
And now when you get together with these members, you know, you have your speakers and you have all these workshops, but do you ever find that they end up talking to each other an awful lot and learning a lot of things?
Yes, that's very true. You know, there's a lot of great conversations in the hallway, which I think is one of the best parts about convention. Being able to learn from and hear what other people are doing across the state. We're a big tent organization. We have lots of different types of farmers and farms, and this is a great chance to really connect with those folks.
Now I'm going to do a little deeper dive with some of those workshops. What are some of the focuses this year?
One of the workshops that we're talking about is land access, specifically for Hmong farmers. We'll also be talking about antitrust in seeds and what that looks like. We will also be doing kind of a what does kind of farm financials look like post-election, and then also kind of a conversation about old crops to new crops and what that looks like.
And in the Farmers Union, you always talk about policies and getting those things set. What are some of those highlights that are going to be coming out? I mean, we're changing up administration here, and a lot of difference might be happening. What does the Wisconsin Farmers Union have on their mind?
Yeah, so, you know, one thing that Wisconsin Farmers Union has talked about for a really long time and continues to really focus on is antitrust and the effect that consolidation has on farms and communities. So that's definitely going to be something that we continue focusing about. We're also talking about the new, in the last couple of years, the LFPA project and what that looks like for future funding. We'd really like to see that program continue, so I know that our members will be discussing that this year.
Now, you used an acronym, and I'm in a world of acronyms out here, and not everybody's familiar what that means. So first, give me the acronym and what it means and what it's all about.
Yeah, thanks, Jill. The LFPA project is the Local Food Purchase Assistance Project, which is federal funding that was given directly to farmers to then bring that food to food pantries and food banks. So it's really about closing the circle between food access and need and with our local farmers.
For the Wisconsin Farmers Union, you just had an opening. What is some of that focus about for this grand opening of Market on the River?
Yeah, Market on River is really a celebration right now. I think it's a great chance for us to invest in both the local community here in Chippewa Falls, but also really to invest in our farmers and our members. This is a space for our members, and a really, you know, one of the things that we are highlighting is that we're buying directly from our farmers. So that's something that all of the new vendors that will be coming in will be purchasing directly from Wisconsin Farmers Union members and farms in Wisconsin.
That was one thing I wanted you to highlight, and you hit it right on the spot. Buying locally, supporting locally. Have you had a chance to eat here at Market on the River yet?
Well, I did come in at noon today and already had a piece of pizza, but I'm so excited to try all of the food from all the different vendors.
Well, so far we've talked an awful lot about convention, Market on River, and you are really going to make them work when they come to convention, but I want to hear about some of the fun that you have down there, because it can't just be work, 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 can it?
No, we have a blast at convention every year. It's a party. People get to see folks that they don't get to see all year round. So we have a good time in the evenings. We have a live band happening on Saturday for our banquet. There'll be lots of drinks and lots of fun for all of our members.
Well, I'm glad that you don't make them just work. And that was Kirsten Slaughter. And up next, I've got Tara Greiman. Now, she's going to tell me a little bit more about convention outside what Kirsten told us.
So before our convention gets started to proper, several years ago, our members determined that they wanted to have a more deep dive on specific topics. So in the past, we have done special discussions of water quality and groundwater, climate change, and this year our focus is actually going to be a deep dive on how we build the skill set to have polarized conversations when people have really big feelings. Our example topic for this will be ethanol, to have a discussion about when we have farmers across an opinion spectrum and really strong feelings, and how we come together in our big tent organization to really understand how we create policy that's win-win effective, or how we can collaborate even when we disagree. So we'll be having a long-form discussion with facilitators on what that looks like and the skills that you need to work collaboratively with a really diverse audience and group of people, so that we can all come together at the end of the day and be part of this organization that we all believe so much in.
And you brought up just working with the people in the Wisconsin Farmers Union, but when you think about it, Wisconsin Farmers Union has to work with the public and consumers. So are you doing some of that highlighting and how to work outside the organization?
That's part of all of our work that we do, and we're such a big tent that our organization really represents consumers and partner advocacy and the farmers and everybody in between. So all of those collaborators are really present, but at the end of the day, a convention is for our membership to really talk policy and understand where we to direct our full organization. As a super member-driven organization where our grassroots really propel that real growth of us, this is the space for them to really understand collectively where we want to be and make sure the direction is right, so that when we are working with partners with our growing staff and all of the projects that we're on, we want to make sure we are absolutely on target and representing our membership through that.
Are there any other projects coming for the Wisconsin Farmers Union? I mean, Market on River is a pretty big deal here in Chippewa Falls. Anything else up anybody's sleeve?
Well, we always have our robust staff doing lots of work. So we have Lobby Day coming up, where our members actually go over to the Madison Capitol and talk directly with their representatives. We have a brand new conservation and stewardship department that started up at last April that's headed by me, and we will be covering more and more on climate and conservation topics, which has been fully directed by our membership. That is a huge priority for us, so we do more on that every day and continue to grow in that direction. And then we're really diving into our anti-consolidation work through our rural organizing and with all sorts of our everyday opportunities.
And I'm going to back you up a little bit to when you go to the Capitol and you visit with those legislators. You don't just go in all willy-nilly, do you? I mean, there's some training that needs to go in, so you have basically a one voice on that. And I guess we're going back to Kirsten Slaughter on that one. Going to the Capitol, visiting with legislators. What goes into training the voices of Wisconsin Farmers Union?
Yeah, thanks. You know, our Farm and Rural Lobby Day is a highlight of my year, where we really do get to bring members to the Capitol. And, you know, I think our farmers have the best story to tell of their own experience and to really share that story. And so, yeah, we help our members try to figure out how best to do that and how to share their story when they go into those meetings. We have a set of priorities that we, you know, meet every year, and when we come to Madison at the beginning, the morning is always that training session. How do you have those conversations? What types of, you know, highlights should you talk about? How to really get an ask and say, like, is this something that you're willing to support? Will you support our farmers across Wisconsin? So making those asks and doing the education behind each of those pieces of legislation is definitely a part to the event.
I just went way off topic. I know we were talking about convention, we're talking about all these other things, but Wisconsin Farmers Union does so many different things, and their fingers are in a lot of pies, just like Market on the River. And that was Kirsten Slaughter and Tara Griman, part of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, the 94th annual convention down at the Chula Vista in Wisconsin Dells, December 13th through the 15th. And if you need more information, go to wisconsinfarmersunion.com. And I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn here in Eau Claire.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. After two recounts, an incumbent North Carolina Supreme Court justice was declared the winner by 734 votes, with 5.5 million ballots cast. Her GOP challenger now claims 60,000 of those voters were ineligible. Democratic Supreme Court Justice Allison Riggs was declared the winner over Appeals Court Judge Jefferson Griffin December 10th, after a machine recount in November didn't change the margin's percentage. Tuesday's partial hand recount found no evidence to justify Griffin's request for a full hand recount, according to North Carolina Newsline. Griffin has refused to concede the race and in November appealed to the North Carolina Elections Board to invalidate as many as 60,000 voters. Newsline reports that his challenge includes voters with felony convictions, despite North Carolina's voting rights restoration after sentences and probation are completed. He and the North Carolina GOP are also challenging voters with incomplete registration information, some of whom are even elected officials and have voted for years. Mail ballots from military and overseas voters have been questioned as well. The State Elections Board meets this week to consider the challenges. A spokesperson for the Riggs campaign said in a statement, "This election has concluded and the voters have issued a clear verdict in electing Justice Riggs." We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Michigan man leads lawnmower chase. "I'll stop," says the suspect. Instead, he reaches under the seat and pulls out a gun.
Shoots himself in the hand.
The deputy has his taser trained on him, and yes, he tased him.
I'm not advocating for crime, but boost something that goes faster than cop on foot.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on air.
Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin will be joining us. Also, Paul Noonan to talk all things sports and Aaron Rodgers. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings at 10. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Because a story we've got later this morning, the Christmas tree that will be on display down at the state capitol has arrived. It came down from Rhinelander. So to the tree, this might be warm. To the rest of us, yikes.
Yeah, it is a cold start. There's a cold weather advisory, in effect, until 10 a.m.
A cold weather advisory means wind chills dropping down closer to 20 and 25 below, and it includes areas like Madison, the Dells, Neillsville, all the way up to Park Falls, Wausau, all points east. Everything east of the Wisconsin River and I-39 to eastern Wisconsin under that cold weather advisory. High pressure is edged in. That low that brought that little bit of snow yesterday is pushing way off over into eastern Canada. It's taken snow with it. Nobody really got much around here, a tenth of an inch or two of snow cover, and it just wasn't that big of a deal. But the high pressure system following in behind that clipper system is bringing in all kinds of cold air. The wind's still strong enough today, but they are going to be diminishing. There's better news. We expect those temps today to stay on the cold side, but without that 35 or 40 mile per hour wind gust, it won't seem quite so chilly. But I do expect some sunshine today and right on into the day tomorrow. Of course, with clear skies, very cold temps tonight, but we will have that sunshine around. The next low moving east in the central parts of the U.S., down toward Nebraska or Kansas, will start to have some effect around here, moving clouds back in Friday night. And into Saturday, a mix of precipitation possible. Southern Wisconsin may see a little rain, snow, freezing rain, maybe just a little freezing rain or snow the further you head north, or just some light snow. But a possibility of precipitation tries to edge in as we make our way through Saturday and into Saturday night. But believe it or not, temperatures will be moderating with that system. In fact, we should be above normal already for highs on Saturday, even further above on Sunday. Far southern Wisconsin, Sunday and even Monday, have a chance to talk about a 40 degree or above 40 temperature. So as cold as it is this morning, just a few days down the road, that mild air is going to return. Just hold on today, like Pam says, tie a knot in the end and hang on. We'll get through this cold weather today, tonight, and into Friday, and then we'll have a little moderation, but maybe a little mixed precipitation to start the weekend. I'll check our forecast details right after this.
Can you predict the future? I can't. That's why when I'm planting soybeans, I treat with Heads Up seed treatment. With more than 15 years of research, Heads Up offers proven protection against both white mold and sudden death syndrome. So no matter what the year throws at you, you've already taken that first step to be prepared. Don't let your beans suffer from disease when they're just starting to look their best. Tell your seed dealer you need Heads Up seed treatment. Learn more at headsupst.com.
Attention farmers and ranchers, the Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of a rebate of up to $1,500 on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eyes set on a Can-Am workhorse, now's the time to get your own. Visit your local Can-Am dealer to add a true game changer to your roster. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
I got a quick note on our talk text line from Scott. He's on his way to work. He said he just drove past the Bradley Tower in Walker's Point. 3 degrees on the tower. That's got to be a lot of minus zeros when it comes to the wind chills, too.
Oh, yeah. And almost everybody else except for Milwaukee or along the lakeshore is below zero this morning. So you factor in that wind and the cold wind, the cold weather advisory this morning says, yeah, wind chills are going to be down near 20, 25 below. It is a very chilly start. Bundle up. Take it serious. Couple extra layers to get out and get going this morning. But it does improve. Not today. Sunny skies today. Single digits just above zero in far northern Wisconsin. Oh, and 10 or 11 in the south. Winds are going to be from the west, about 5 to 10. A little gusty here and there, but certainly still sounding a bit nicer. Overnight, clear and cold. Back to zero or below. Some of us just above by 2 or 3 degrees above. That's all we can hope for with a northwest breeze at about 5. Sunny skies on Friday. A little improvement in the far north, maybe double digits, and more likely closer to 20 or so in southern Wisconsin tomorrow. Winds will become southeast in the day, 5 to 10. And Saturday, more clouds in the south, that little mix of rain, snow, or freezing rain, maybe a little freezing rain or snow in central Wisconsin. It develops in the day, lasts through Saturday night. Could be a little flurry activity around or some drizzle into Sunday, Pam. But the temps at least Saturday, a lot of us start pushing into the 30s, mid or upper 30s in southern Wisconsin, and even a 40 in the south on Sunday with a little rainfall. doesn't sound quite like a little while before Christmas at that point either.
Well, that's true. We're going to have to start talking about that as well. Good enough, my friend. We will catch up with you tomorrow and continue the conversation.
All right. See you then.
Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, keeping an eye on what's going on with the weather. You are welcome to tell me what's going on with weather in your backyard. Our talk text line already in action. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. The Christmas tree has arrived at the state capitol. We've got the details all on the way for your Thursday.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Here's why I'm glad I don't work in an office. My wife is always talking about, she's a teacher. They put donuts in the teacher's lounge, there's sweets, there's snacks. It wasn't that way here today, but Nikki keeps those Biscoff cookies out there. I probably ate 12 of those today. The phrase "you are what you eat" is very true, because I was sitting in the office earlier prepping the show and I felt kind of doughy and I'm like, I feel like a Biscoff cookie.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
We know what happened the last time Trump applied this ham-fisted tariff policy. He had to write a $12 billion check to farmers because he crushed so many of our agricultural exports and drove up the cost of single-family homes because the cost of lumber from places like Canada went way the frick up. Everything got more expensive.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. New evidence has now been linked to Luigi Mangione, accused of killing the United Healthcare CEO in New York last week.
In addition to Mangione matching the photograph of the suspect in New York, having the ID on him that was presented to that hostel on the Upper West Side, and all of the writings we know about, we now have ballistic evidence and fingerprints that tie Mangione back to this crime in New York City last week.
ABC's Peter Haralambos. Questions over who is flying those large drones over sensitive locations in the Northeast. Dozens of sightings reported since last month, including near President-elect Trump's Bedminster golf course. The Pentagon denies Iran is responsible. FBI Director Christopher Wray facing pressure from President Trump to announcing that he will resign at the end of the Biden administration in January, more than 2 years before his term was set to end. Ray greenlit investigations into Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 election. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. You might think Americans don't work as hard as they used to, but that is not true at all when it comes to TV watching. Tube viewing was up 5% overall for the month of November, but that does not include Thanksgiving, which would have driven the numbers up even higher. According to Nielsen, the reason for the increased viewing was the election, World Series, and the Mike Tyson-Jake Paul snooze fest. A Nielsen pie graph shows broadcast networks with 23.7% of viewers. Streaming services accounted for 41.5%, which is up 1% from the previous month. Cable accounted for 25% of TV watching. In the category of other, on the graph, it showed 9.7%. I'm guessing those are people who just leave the TV on and stare at the Roku home screen indecisively. Speaking of streaming, Netflix really hit a home run last month with the Tyson-Paul fight, even though it left viewers watching mostly a rotating buffering ball. Netflix's The Lincoln Lawyer was the most viewed streamer for the month with 3.9 billion views. Well done, couch potatoes. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Waba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Bucks head to Vegas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks found out last night they'll face the Atlanta Hawks in the semifinals Saturday of the NBA Cup in Las Vegas. Tip-off time 3:30. Atlanta beat the Knicks in New York 108-100 to qualify. College hoops, the Badgers on the road against the Butler Bulldogs in Indianapolis. Game time Saturday at 1:30. Last night in Green Bay, the Milwaukee Panthers beat the UW Green Bay Phoenix 88-67. The Phoenix now 2-9 under Doug Gottlieb. NFL, Packers defensive back Jaire Alexander back and expected to play after missing the past month with a knee injury. The Packers in Seattle Sunday night. Luke Musgrave returned to practice. Jordan Love on seeing the tight end finally doing some drills after ankle surgery in early October.
Yeah, it's been awesome to see Luke. He was out there in pads and whatnot doing some individual stuff today. So, you know, had a tough injury. Didn't know when he was going to be back. And it's awesome to have a guy like that back out there.
That's Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Pete Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, we make our popcorn pick of the week with morning show host and former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt. And Madison film critic Rob Thomas joins the show, who has likely seen Jim's pick.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is cold this morning, and it's going to stay cold through the day, but it will not be as windy. Mostly sunny, high of 4 above this afternoon. Wind will be west at 5 to 10. Tonight, we'll drop back down to 12 below zero. Tomorrow, sunshine 14 with some light snow tomorrow night into Saturday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 14 below zero.
This is a community reminder from Buzz of the North. There's a free kids movie each Thursday at the Sherman and Ruth Weiss Community Library located right in Hayward, and that happens Thursday from 10:30 a.m. until 12:30, and this is a weekly event, happens each Thursday. Again, a kids movie at the Sherman and Ruth Weiss Community Library in Hayward each Thursday from 10:30 until 12:30. Community reminder for you from the Buzz of the North.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Luke Matheris, you let the dogs out.
I let the dogs out. It was me. After about 15 minutes, I go out there and I'm like, what is this mound? An opossum playing dead in the middle of the yard. I'm out there kind of hollering, like trying to corral the dogs. And then we finally got Aurora to come in the house, stepped away for a little bit, came back and was gone. But I really hope that it remembers this traumatic experience and never comes back in my yard again.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
Mr. Ben Wickler, he is running for the national DNC chair. The fundamental problem was the Democratic brand. Do you think that is the case more than the Harris campaign?
Core answer is yes. The Democratic brand, it's not what we necessarily do or say. It's what people have heard and internalized. And that to me is an argument for thinking about how and where we communicate, making sure we are present in places where people are thinking about stuff other than politics.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
If it was them, but like a miscommunication or two.
A balsam fir from the Rhinelander area is going to be on display at the state capitol for the holiday season 2024. Welcome back, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke on the Midwest Farm Report. Stephanie Hoff got a chance to visit with the groundskeeper at the state capitol, who's responsible for finding the tree, harvesting the tree, and ultimately decorating the tree. Stick around to learn the story about that Rhinelander area balsam fir in just a little bit. Then we'll be catching up with our friend Ryan Yonkman, one of the broker analysts with EverAg, to take a look at what's happening with these markets. It's not just about geopolitical issues we've got to be mindful of. We're basically out of time for a farm bill. That can have repercussions in the marketplace. I'll try to get you all those details for the morning. Well, today is the 12th day of December, and I've got to be honest with you, not a lot of big items I could find to keep your attention. A lot of people got married on this day. Back in 1991, Richard Gere and Cindy Crawford got married. That marriage lasted about 4 years. Ashley Judd and her husband, Dario Franchetti, they got married on this day. 2001 in Scotland, they stayed married for about 12 years. Fashion mogul Tommy Hilfiger got married to his wife Dee on this day in Connecticut, 2008. They are still married, and now you know. Like I said, it's the holiday season, and down at the state capitol, it really looks like the holiday season now that a balsam fir from Rhinelander has arrived. Stephanie Hoff gives us the details.
The Wisconsin State Capitol Christmas tree has been a tradition since the early 1900s, and every year it requires someone to visit the North Woods to find that perfect balsam fir. Darren Smith, superintendent of the building grounds at the State Capitol, has been in charge of picking out the tree since 2017. He says it takes a team of more than 50 people to make it all happen between the harvesting, hauling, and decorating. He tells us more about this holiday tradition that has always included a real Wisconsin Christmas tree.
The natural tree is what everybody wants to see, and they want to have that full experience. And, depending on the tree, it'll always have that fragrance and, you know, that smell of the holiday season. So it just always has been a real tree to my knowledge. So
when you're seeking a Christmas tree every year to put into the rotunda, where has it taken you?
Very long days, usually. We're usually able to get it done in one or two trips. And so we just sort of compile a list throughout the year of people that are interested in possibly donating. And we earmark the ones that might be a good fit. And we lay them out on a map and we go for a long drive, usually. And it has taken me a lot of different places. But what a lot of people are surprised to find out is that we can only use a balsam fir. And there's a number of reasons for that. One is the weight of a balsam is much lighter than, say, a spruce. And it's also much more flexible. And it allows us to get a larger tree in the rotunda. And everybody likes to see a lot of height. And one of the challenges with that is the balsams in Wisconsin, they don't grow down in the lower half of the state. Unless it was specifically planted in some very unique soil conditions, they are almost impossible to find south of Highway 8. So almost all of our trees always come from north of Highway 8.
How tall do you need these trees to be?
By the time we install the tree, it's usually in the neighborhood of 30 feet, Sometimes it's a little higher, sometimes it's a little lower. But they usually start out where we find them, in the neighborhood of 40 to 45 feet. But they've been bigger than that. But once we get it to the Capitol, we usually stick to around that 30 foot, maybe 32 on occasion. So that's about the height we want once it's installed. So
if you have one of these trees on your property, you can actually apply to get the tree harvested. Is that how that process works?
Yeah, they'll just drop me a note or send me a call. Ironically, I got an email just yesterday from somebody who's maybe interested in being a donor for 2025. So they just kind of trickle in throughout the year, and we, you know, keep track of them, and we communicate with the owners and talk about the tree, share some photos, talk about the stats. And we also are very interested in any story. Like, all things being equal, we're going to want a tree that has a really good story behind it. And sometimes there's something interesting. Sometimes it's off of family property. Rarely does it just come out of the forest. So there's usually a story behind it. And so that's always sort of an impetus to try and make it work. If we can find a tree that sort of fits the bill.
The tree story this year starts in Rhinelander. This year's Capitol tree came from the Burke family. They usually harvest a Christmas tree from their property, but this one was a little big, towering at nearly 40 feet. They decided to offer the tree to the Wisconsin State Capitol. When it comes to harvesting a tree of that size, Darren Smith says it takes some careful planning and a talented team.
It is an operation that requires a dance of many, and everybody has to be in step. Let me preface by saying that I might be the guy who decides which tree this is, but there is a small army of individuals that contribute to this whole program every year, most of them on a volunteer basis. But, you know, ideally it would be growing all by itself on a little hill where it got, you know, there was no adjacent trees to, you know, block the sunlight, or and they would have a nice driveway right up to it, right? So that would be great. Access to it can be challenging, but even when it's tough to get to, the team that we work with usually finds a way. So we have a gentleman that's been working alongside us for many years from the Great Lake Timber Professionals Association. He does a great job for us coordinating all of the things up north. And this year's tree for the executive residence was a little challenging to get to. And they used real forestry equipment to harvest it and be able to get it out of the forest, so where we could lay it down. And yeah, it has to be very gently lowered. You can't just chop it down and let it fall. So it has to come down by some sort of mechanical mechanism, usually a crane of some sort. And we'll bundle it up nice and neat and try and cinch it in so it can make the trip down. We have to raise the stump end up so we can keep the weight off of those big branches on the back. And that helps us maintain the health of the tree until we can get it into the Capitol and vertical and water on it. So
a little more complicated than taking the family out to the Christmas tree farm. Darren Smith, along with us, he's the superintendent of the building grounds at the Wisconsin State Capitol, and he's in charge of picking out the real Wisconsin Christmas tree that stands tall in the Capitol Rotunda. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Attention farmers and ranchers. The Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of a rebate of up to $1,500 on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eyes set on a Can-Am workhorse, now is the time to get your own. Visit your local Can-Am dealer to add a true game changer to your roster. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
You see the headlines all the time. Consumers confused by food labels. Well, not if they shop at Bavaria Sausage. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here, asking you to take a closer look at the food labels at Bavaria Sausage. You know, they are working towards making sure when you take a look at whatever product they've got in the store, you know exactly what it is. They're using different colors. They're also making sure that there's a picture on that label to help you better understand the protein source that you're looking at. It's all about making sure they're combining the old world flavors, the artisan blends, and making sure that you understand when there's something new in the showcase, what is it and where did it come from? Simple information, easily understood. And of course, there's always someone there to answer your questions if you've got them. Bavaria Sausage at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg, located also online, BavariaSausage.com. Old recipes, new labels. Take a look. Welcome back on a Thursday morning. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Well, it looks like we're basically out of time for a long-awaited farm bill. Washington, D.C., starting to shut things down. Now, remember, this farm bill was supposed to be done last year. It's frustrating, and it also starts kicking in some very interesting scenarios that farms may have to plan around. That's the word from Tyler Wensloff. He is the Director of National Affairs with the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation.
Let's say that we don't get a farm bill extension before the end of the year. We're looking at what's called the dairy cliff. And so that would require USDA to start purchasing dairy products to an elevated level. We're talking about $48, $50 per hundredweight for dairy products. And so this could cost USDA in the realm of billions of dollars per month. While it sounds like a great idea for farmers, initially it probably would be, but the disruptions that you would see in the market after that would be tremendous and would take months to years to sort out. Let's say we do get an extension, which is the most probable outcome. We're looking at something where it would extend the 2018 farm bill again for another year, similar to what we had last September when it ended.
We'll see, Tyler. Tyler Wensloff, National Affairs Director for the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation. Why isn't a farm bill already done? Well, he says the majority of the holdup is the price tag. This could be the most expensive farm bill in history because of the food benefits portion. Markets in overnight electronic trade on a Thursday morning. Right now, everything is down, including the Dow Jones Industrial Average. March corn, 2 cents lower right now at 446. December new crop next year is unchanged at 444. January soybeans down 3 at 992, with November new crop down 2 at 1012. March wheat right now down a penny at 562. July new crop down a penny, 578. Yesterday, the barrel cheese dropped a penny and a quarter to 167.5. 40-pound block cheese was up 2 at 175. And double A butter dropped a quarter of a cent, 252 and three quarters per pound. The January class 3 milk that goes into cheese is down 3 this morning at 1949 a hundredweight. What's happening with dairy? We'll find out the background details up next. Ryan Yonkman with EverAg.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
The holidays are here, and it's nearly time to pick a present from our grown-up gift list with our Civic Media statewide text-to-win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of our grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on our grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in our statewide contest.
Hey there, this is Carrie Joy with today's Work Money Minute and a little bit of tough love about investing in collectibles. I'm going to say this as nicely as I can. Collectibles are just not good investments. Comic books, Beanie Babies, World War II memorabilia, American Girl doll stuff, they just don't math out as investments. Now, collecting as a hobby that brings you joy is perfectly fine if you can afford it. Just don't confuse the fun of the hunt with the potential for profits. And importantly, they are illiquid, meaning you can't turn it into cash in a pinch like you can with a real security like a stock. Now, I'm not saying you gotta stop collecting whatever you enjoy. Just make sure you're paying down your high interest debt like credit cards and saving for retirement. For more tips on saving more and spending less, search up Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Todd Allball.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a very special edition of the show. You know how fascism creeps in? On little cat's feet. Matt Flynn in the guest host chair. Join him.
The Todd Allball Show, weekdays noon till 2. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Area this morning, so just as cold as the rest of us, huh?
Yeah, it is, and good morning. It's to be expected, I suppose. It's that time of year.
Yeah, it is, correct. Let's talk a little bit about what's been going on with dairy then, Ryan. Past couple of days, it's been an on-again, off-again love affair with cheese, and you tell me this morning that we're seeing a little bit of a dynamic change on the international scene. What's going on?
Yeah, and I think, you know, what we're seeing internationally is prices have slowly been softening pretty well by the week, you know, probably for the last 6 to 7 weeks. It's been a slow grind lower, but the positive note here is kind of like we're used to. The U.S. had been discount to the globe now for probably about almost 2.5 months. And during that discount, we've heard about a lot of exports getting booked, in particular to cheese. And actually, we've heard about some 82% fat, unsalted butter, even that's been able to get exported as butters traded some big spread. So although the global prices are coming down, ours are not. And I think a lot of that has to do with, hey, while we're lower, we get exports booked. And part of the reason they come down is because maybe we take their market share. So the good news today is you take something like cheese or class three, and we've got first half futures, Jan to June, Q1 specific, and Q2 are only about 30 to 50 cents off their contract highs, okay, that were made back in September when spot cheese went to almost 260 a pound. So fast forward and say, okay, that's what happened then. Where are we now? Spot cheese today is trading $1.70. So you go, how on earth can Jan to June be only about 30 to 50 cents off its highs when cheese is a full dollar lower than where it was in September? And a big part of that answer is dry whey. And that's something not a lot of people think about or talk about, but I want to bring it up today because the dry whey market is trading at about 75 cents a pound, which is about 10 cents away from its all-time high. And by all means, trading in basically the 100th percentile. And that has added tremendous value back to the class three price, putting it darn near back near its highs we saw in September.
Yeah, yeah. Ryan Yonkman joining us this morning with EverAg. Your timing is perfect, Ryan. Some of our dairy grants, dairy processor grants, and also from the Dairy Innovation Alliance, a lot of them, I was actually a little surprised to see almost all of them are going towards some whey-related development, expansion, or so forth. Help people understand why whey is so red hot right now and where it's actually ending up.
It's probably the best good news story dairy's had here in the last, seems like, couple years. Protein is on fire. And really, when you think about through the lens of whey, right, you think about protein supplements, right? You think about things like Muscle Milk and all the whey powders that people are mixing in their drinks. And that market really, through the pandemic, got hot and stayed hot. And so what we're learning is a lot of the diets out there, even think about the weight loss stuff like Ozempic and whatnot. For a lot of those weight loss drugs to work, you need to fill your belly with protein. And most of that protein is coming through the lens of these high protein concentrates that we've seen such great demand for and a shift certainly in production toward. And that's really ultimately what's helped pull this kind of commodity dry whey price up here into the 70s.
Wow. And, you know, then obviously, like you said, the question is, can we hang on to it? So tell people what normally happens at this time of the year with our dairy cycles. And I say normally with air quotes around it because I'm not sure we know what that is anymore.
Yeah. Good point. Look, we would say this. Back in September when we had the rally we did, that was very seasonal, very on time, very much usually a place to take advantage of opportunity. You get through that, and you never know if you're going to get another look at a rally. Sometimes you get something Thanksgiving. Sometimes you get what we call a Santa Claus rally. We're getting the Santa Claus rally now. And to me, for any dairy in the country, this is, in our opinion, your late look, right? Your late fall rally, whatever you want to call it, to take opportunity of removing risk going into at least the first half of next year. Because to your point of seasonality, Super Bowl orders, that's the last thing in front of us. You've probably got a week or two, a couple weeks of that left. And then you get into the doldrums and demand season. Production starts to pick up. One of the cheese plants we've been talking about fired up a few weeks ago. We've got two more that are going to fire up in January, February. So we feel like the risk is still very much on as we go into the first half. And we'd like to see dairies use this rally to remove that going into the first half.
Got to let you go, Ryan. I love talking to you, buddy, but we're up against the clock. Ryan Yachman joining us this morning live from Everay.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy. We're talking about the Act 10 overturned by a Dane County judge.
I think it's important for everyone to know that this was the state that in 1959 first granted public employees the right to organize and bargain collectively. We have a lot to take back. You know, I used to say take back America, but I say take back Wisconsin.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
A look at the labor situation on American farms today on Farm to Fork. Hurricanes Helene and Milton happened almost back to back, devastating a huge swath of the southeastern United States. Many farms and farming communities were affected. The American Red Cross and other organizations are accepting donations for relief efforts in those stricken communities. They can use your support. There's a link on the homepage at NorthShoreProductions.com if you'd like to help.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Farm labor is hard work, and finding people to do that work is hard as well. A recent Farm Foundation forum on this included Alexandra Hill from the University of California at Berkeley.
Employees domestically are going to continue to be harder to find and more expensive to employ. The H-2A program offers this temporary solution. It's going to bring in new influxes of workers, but it's going to increase costs. And so if we want to keep production within the U.S., we really need to find ways to make our businesses more competitive.
Hill says rising farm worker costs could lead to more automation or to a shift in crop production from the U.S. to other countries. Though another panelist, Philip Martin from the University of California at Davis, says other countries haven't figured it out yet themselves.
No country has solved the seasonal farm labor problem. Whether you're in Australia or the UK or Spain or Germany, they are debating many of the very same issues we're debating. How do you protect local workers when migrants come in? What do you do about unauthorized workers? What do you do about labor contractors? How do you regulate them effectively? So it's not something that has easy answers. The hope is that we can make incremental progress coming to an answer.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Pat Kreitlow,
Thursday morning on Up North News Radio, we'll have the latest on the April election for state school superintendent. The matchup isn't what a lot of folks would have expected.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. The Todd Alba Show.
Pat Kreitlow, all your time in the media, television, radio, what have you, what was one or two of the oddest things that people were complaining about?
As a TV anchor, your hair.
You have some of the finest hair around. How could anybody criticize your hair?
Oh, well, because a consultant forced me to change it.
Were there focus groups?
I'm not aware of any focus groups other than the audience, which universally hated it. It was a bowl haircut.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Mystery drone spotted flying low over areas of the Northeast, including New Jersey, where a group of mayors attended a briefing. Pequannock Township Mayor Ryan Hurd.
We're not just talking about flying over at 5 or 10 or 30,000 feet like a regular plane. We're talking about a couple of hundred feet over your house, over my house.
The White House says President Biden's been briefed on the drones and the DHS and FBI continue investigating the incidents. The suspect in the killing of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson, 26-year-old Luigi Mangione, is being held without bond in Pennsylvania as he fights extradition to New York. This is investigators have now linked shell casings found at the site of the shooting with a gun found on Mangione. Fire officials in Southern California say the Franklin fire burning in Malibu is about 7% contained. That fire has burned through more than 4,000 acres and destroyed several structures and is being fanned by Santa Ana winds up to 75 miles per hour. This is ABC News. The Wisconsin